It's Lake Effect. I'm Bonnie North. The word icon is tossed about pretty freely, but it's safe to say that Judy Garland was and is one. She was described by Fred Astaire, no slouch himself, as the greatest entertainer that ever lived. More than 40 years after her too early death at the age of 47, her art and her life, fueled in part by drugs, alcohol, and unhappy relationships, remain fascinating to us. End of the Rainbow, about the final months of Garland's life, opened last Friday at the Milwaukee Repertory Theater. The 2005 play by Peter Quilter had a long run in London's West End. It also had a Broadway run in 2012, and it's been performed in many other playhouses around the world. The day before opening, I sat down with Quilter, Milwaukee Rep's Mark Clements, who directed the production, and Chicago-based actress Hollis Resnick, who stars as Garland. Speaking in the lobby of the Powerhouse Theater, Quilter began the conversation by explaining why he chose to write about Garland's last few months.
Oh, purely for the drama of it. It was extraordinary to me that nobody had actually written it before, because the car crash of different things that were going on at the same time in her life at that period was just amazing to me. It was the most dramatic thing that, as an idea, that I'd ever come across. I mean, she's the most loved woman in the world, still trying to find love for herself in her personal life. One of the world's great performers, often performing terribly. A woman desperate to find joy and happiness in her life, but struggling with alcohol and drugs. And all those things all going on at once in a hotel room in London during a six-week concert period. And to me, it was just, it just had to be written. I thought the whole atmosphere of what was going on at that time, that like I say, that huge car crash of different things happening, was just electrifying. And I thought it would just make really good theatre, because not only do you have that really dramatic, compelling situation and a fascinating, complex woman, but you also have an opportunity to bring all her music into the show and to see her perform and to hear those songs. And so I thought it was a show that really just had to be written.
And Hollis, that puts such a pressure on you, because here is this icon that a lot of us think we know, and you're having to produce her on stage with that music and with, as Peter says, that car crash of things that were happening to her.
Yes. Well, I have played other women before that have lived, real people that have had disastrous lives. Piaf, Edie Beale of the Beale sisters, and Patsy Cline, Eva Peron. So when you do a role like this, there's always a lot of fascinating research you can do. Not only do you have the wonderful text of the playwright and the music and her body of work, but you know, you have a lot of research, a lot of video, a lot of interviews and things to pull from. So you get a real cushion of information and support for more than what's just given to you when you're rehearsing the play. So you feel supported in an extra way, which is a great, great help in terms of making choices about just emotional intent and what's happening in the moment in the person's life.
And I would think it also would help you prevent yourself from trying to do an imitation.
Well, I can't. I don't know how to do that. I can certainly give a quality, an essence, perhaps a similar sound in places. It all depends on, you know, where one's voice and own personal gifts lie. And I don't have a fat voice like she does. But, you know, I've been doing this long enough and I have a good enough ear that technically I can incorporate some things. Plus, you're helped considerably by, you know, a particular wig or costume or sort of image that, you know, people have certainly seen before in the press or on film.
I belong to London. I'll skip this lyric. They'll be applauding. It's a part of me. It's a heart of me. Lambeth Walk to Leicester Square. I'm happy and so shoo shuffle. Cause I belong to London. It's always been my cup of tea. North or south, east or west, bloody bloody blah best. On that march we must be getting agree. yes, I've seen Paris and Rome. I get a feeling I'm
colored.
Oh, by the London Orion, always.
And Mark, for you, bringing this to stage, what are some of the challenges?
The play's action moves swiftly between primarily the talk of the town, which was the premier night spot in the UK at that time where Judy was performing, and the hotel suite, which she stayed at the Ritz-Carlton in London. So we have to move effortlessly backwards and forwards between those things. So that was one big challenge technically, but I got a brilliant designer, Dan Conway, who has made that, you know, move it seemingly effortlessly, and kind of we pulled that off. That was something I really wanted to do. And certainly from the production that I'd seen previously that was on Broadway and in the West End, which was the same production ostensibly, they hadn't had that element, and I really missed that from a directorial point of view when I saw it, so I really wanted to pull that off, so we did that. And then, you know, the biggest challenge really with this play, I think, is making sure, you know, they would say a director's job is done, 70% of it isn't done in the casting, you know, and, that's, and I think on this particular play, that's definitely true. You know, you need somebody who can... who's got the chops to do it, to hold the stage for 2 hours, who can... pay fitting tribute at appropriate level to an icon. And when we started on this process, I was, you know, talking to Hollis about it, and she wasn't available at first. And then we sort of, you know, we kind of, she was interested, and then we went backwards and forwards. And I went to see her on tour while she was in Dallas doing Sister Act. And kind of we sat down afterwards, and I was like, you got to do this role. And so we kind of worked it out. Normally, I wouldn't program a piece like this unless I knew who was actually going to play it. But, I don't know. I just had a good vibe about it. That, and I'd seen Hollis when I first moved to this area in Chicago, and I really wanted to work with her, and we vibed well. And so, yeah, I'm glad it worked out.
Well, and this is the first time in almost 20 years that you've been on the stage, right?
Yes, yeah. I came here to do plays. I did Shakespeare and Alan Ayckbourn and Tennessee Williams here.
Tom Stoppard,
yeah. Yes. And they weren't doing musicals again. And since Mark's begun his tenure here, he's sort of incorporated, you know, a new vibe around here, which is great and exciting for Milwaukee audiences. People love smart musical theater. And, you know, not only do they have the cabaret here, which is great, but, you know, now they're able to produce exceptional musical theater storytelling, which, of course, is very close to my heart in many ways.
Gee, I'd like to see you looking swell, baby. Diamond bracelets, Woolworths doesn't sell, baby.
Well, Peter, is this really a musical theater piece, or is it a play with music?
It's. I always call it a play with music, or sometimes I use the term musical drama, because it really is halfway between the two. I mean, it's not a musical in the sense that every 5 minutes everybody bursts into song, kicks their legs in the air. But, I mean, it does have a really strong musical element, because obviously, you know, we want to see her perform, we want to see Judy perform in those concerts. But the songs, where they come in the play and what the actual song is always a reflection of either what's going on in Judy's head emotionally at the time, or it's a comment on what has happened in the previous scene. So I was very careful in the songs that were selected. But fortunately, it worked fine for the story of the show, that I was able to incorporate The Man That Got Away and Over the Rainbow and other really, they're just amazing, amazing songs. I love sitting in the auditorium and hearing them, because it's the word, I didn't write any of those words, so I could just sit back and relax for 4 minutes, which is, you know, always nice. And so, you know, it's really is halfway between the two. I mean, people that love musical theatre will really enjoy the show. Judy Garland was one of the greats. These songs were classic songs, so they'll have a really good time. But also people who really like strong emotional drama will also, you know, get a real kick out of it. You know, they shouldn't feel, people that don't like musicals shouldn't feel that they're not going to like it, you know. I think it's a show that mixes both. And also the great thing about it is that Judy Garland was really funny. funny. She was a really funny woman. And so although the story is occasionally dark and sad, it always has a light touch, because Garland was one of those women that could just floor a room with a comment or a gag or everything. And she was funny, funny, funny all the time. Even when terrible things were going on, she managed to come out with these great zingers and one-liners and things. And that's great about the show. It gives it real energy, because it's not a desperately sad show. It's actually quite an upbeat show because of the music element, and also because of her personality, which was, you know, she was always fighting for happiness. She was always fighting to be joyful, even though everything was crumbling around her. And so it's, I think it's, for me, it's a really exciting show. I love watching it because I just think she was just a fascinating woman, and the music is incredible. And so I just really enjoy sitting there watching the show, which is unusual for a playwright. Normally we crawl into corners and want people to cover us in lots of coats so we don't have to see or hear anything, you know. But I love watching this show. And I think it's important to point out that this is actually the first original American production of the show. The show that went to Broadway was the British production. Milwaukee Rep is the first company to do an original American production of End of the Rainbow. So it's a really big deal. I mean, this is why I'm here. It's, you know, we had lots of theatres that wanted to be first to do it. And I've known Mark 20 years, and, you know, we went straight to him, and I'm thrilled to be here. And I mean, I saw the show in the first preview. It's fantastic. I mean, you know, I would have gone straight home if it wasn't. I mean, but it's, you know.
You wouldn't be having this interview.
I wouldn't be having this interview. You know, yeah. I'd be on a, trying to get a plane out of Chicago. It's really great. Hollis is fantastic. And the whole production's just really, really, really hot.
So for you, are the zingers fun? Is that fun to play?
Well, I'm getting there.
Yeah.
I'm getting there. You know, I know that she's very funny, but so much of the text is powerful, angst and drama and pain, that it takes a while for an actor to really find the balance in that kind of text, you know, and in the relationships with the other actors. For my money, I always feel like I need another week in the rehearsal hall. I always feel a bit thrown to the wolves. For me, it's always a process. It's always a matter of discovery.
You never finish.
Never.
Right.
No graduation.
Well, you hope not. You hope not, because you hope that it keeps evolving as the show plays out its run.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's a living, breathing thing. It crackles.
Well, we're in a place of safety in the rehearsal room, you know, where everything is possible, where we can change things, where we can stop and start and move again. You know, once we're out there in the preview situation, you know, we had our second preview last night, and it was a very, very different audience to the first one. So the actors are learning a different dynamic, because, you know, the timing of everything, especially when it evolves around music, when it evolves around comedic timing, those beats are different every night, because you can't, they're determined by the audience. You know, if somebody coughs on your punchline, if somebody's cell phone goes off, then happens all the time in theaters now, unfortunately, it changes the dynamic in the room. And they, you know, it's a bit like, you know, playing tennis. Once, you know, you get a rhythm going, you get a, you know, a rally going, and then it's hard once that ball is dropped, then you have to start again. You have to create that rhythm every time. So we're learning to do that around what we've already learned around the text and our particular interpretation of that text. It was interesting that Hollis is also the first American to play this iconic role, because the other actresses were Australian and English. So it's kind of fun to have bring it home.
So no pressure at all. Yeah, none at all for you. Yeah. Well, I want to thank you, all three of you, for taking time this morning to talk with me and break a leg.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's
a
pleasure. Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
Hollis Resnick stars as Judy Garland in the play With Music, End of the Rainbow, written by Peter Quilter and directed by Mark Clements, also the artistic director of the Milwaukee Repertory Theater. End of the Rainbow runs through February 9th in the Powerhouse Theater. There's more information, including a slideshow of production photos, at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. And I'm Bonnie North. Thanks, as always, for tuning in. Be with us again tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 for Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee. Stay tuned now. Fresh air is next.
Blue, and the dreams that you dare.